And Bob Roth is with us. We're going to take some of your calls this hour as well. Strength and stillness. If you meditate and you want to share some of those stories with us as well, go right ahead. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Bob Roth, his book, Strength in Stillness. And we'll take your calls this hour as well. Bob, most of your meditation experience came from the Maharishi. Wasn't he the same Maharishi that the Beatles went to?
Interesting. Maharishi was a physicist in India in the 40s, and he studied with some of the top physicists, and he got about as much as he figured he'd get from, you know, sort of material modern science to understand the deeper powers and value levels of life. And so he had an opportunity to study with what was considered one of the greatest scientists of consciousness, one of the greatest yogis, for 13 years, and he studied with him until his passing in 1952, and then in 1955, Maharishi took the meditation technique he learned from his teacher and began traveling around India and then traveling around the world. And he went really right from the beginning, George, to medical schools and research institutes and said, you know, you really, there's something here. There's something good for health. There's something great for consciousness. There's something great for developing the latent, untapped potential of the mind. And no one's going to believe me. You know, I'm from India, and I got long hair, and the Beatles, you know, were interested in me, and that sort of soured the press on everything for a while.
Exactly. And he died about 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. But he really was, he's the one who challenged the sciences to make paranormal normal, you know. And now you've got hundreds of research studies coming out on the health benefits. You know, I hear some of the advertising, if you got high on your show, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, anxiety, depression, all these things. Well, meditation can certainly help those.
That
so you have a meditation technique that in ancient time was to develop higher states of consciousness and, you know, cosmic consciousness and all the things we love to talk about. At the same time, it's really great for just right down to earth and improving health.
It really is. I'm all for modern day medicine, but I think you should do whatever you can naturally first and foremost. And then if you have to rely on meds, so be it.
And you're a great voice for that, for your listeners to realize that there's a lot out there. You know, there's a lot of junk, but there's a lot of really good stuff, and you have to be discriminating, and
yep.
You don't have to just only take pills. I'm also in favor of pills, but if you're anxious, you can take anti-anxiety medications, but there's also foods you can eat, medications you can do, there's supplements you can take that can, in a much more natural way, affect and improve your life.
You talk about, here's one thing I've always wanted to ask an expert in meditation, so you're perfect for this. Do some of these meditators actually levitate?
I've never seen that, but there are amazing texts from every tradition. You know, in the 16th century, the Catholic tradition, there was this St. Joseph of Cupertino, and he was observed by the Pope. There's in Tibet, in India, where somehow these ancient yogis were theoretically supposed to be able to access such a deep level, not only of their own nature, but nature's nature, that actually transcended or went even beneath gravity, and that they could be at a main switchboard of creation. You know, the same level that would allow you to know things at a distance, from a distance, or see things at a distance that they talked about, that you were able to do that. I've never seen it. But like on your radio, on the show, you know, the advertisement, when someone said, are we alone? And the person said, well, I don't know. And you say, well, welcome to the show, because we're here to explore these different possibilities.
That's right. Let's take some calls here for you, Bob. They are rolling in. Let us go to Bill in West Hartford, Connecticut. Hey, Bill, welcome back.
Yes, hi, George. Hi, nice to be back on your show again. Bob, hi. George knows me well as a caller. I'm a rational scientific atheist, so I want to ask you two questions regarding meditation and also mindfulness, which I'll explain, in relation to someone like myself who's not religious, who's a scientific-minded person, a scientific-minded atheist. For example, in the 1980s, I saw a great psychiatrist, MD and PhD, who unfortunately died 20 years ago in 1998, Dr. Charles F. Strobel. He wrote a book, QR, The Quieting Reflex. When I was with him during those 4 years, I did do the QR technique, which basically boils down to alert mind and a calm body. And it was a way not to have religious or spiritual dogma mixed in with that, which I liked a lot back then. Now I'm seeing a great, pretty good PhD psychologist at the University of Connecticut Health Center here in nearby Farmington, Connecticut, PhD psychologist Dr. Norman Andrakis, who has a CD he gave me, Mindfulness Awareness Exercise. I'm a little scared to do this because I wonder if it borders on spiritual and religious things that I don't agree with at all. Could you comment, please?
Sure. I think it's worth looking if he's written a book. In my book, Strength and Stillness, I looked at the three basic types of meditation, sort of evidence-based. I should preface by saying I'm not, when you think what a meditation teacher would be like, I'm sort of not that guy. You know, I'm not into, I love science, I love practical things, I love stuff that, you know, you don't have to believe in for it to work. And I think that there's enough legitimate forms of meditation that are evidence-based that fit right. You know, a rational atheist, you shouldn't have to have any belief system. We're hardwired to this state of restful alertness, which you were just talking about, deep rest and wake up the brain. And I think you just go right into those things and you say, show me the data first and foremost, because there can be a lot of marketing. You know, if someone said, here's a pill that's good for high blood pressure, you'd like to see the data. And so here's a meditation that's good for giving you that state of restful alertness, you'd like to see the data. In fact, the state of restful alertness brainwave pattern for that is alpha 1. That's 8 to 10 cycles per second. That's the state where your brain, your mind is deeply settled, yet wide awake. And also, it's a state of profound physical relaxation, in many regards deeper than sleep. I know Transcendental Meditation, or TM, does that. And I know that there's other mindfulness techniques that can do that. But I think there's enough stuff out there that will keep you free from the spirit, from the religiosity of things, and you don't need that. I mean, I'm not. If a person believes, that's great. But one person, then I'll let you ask another question. Just because at a Catholic school or a Buddhist school they're doing jumping jacks doesn't make jumping jacks Catholic or Buddhist. It's a technique. So there are many meditations that have been adopted by spiritual or religious practices, but in and of themselves, they're just healthy exercises.
Bob, how important is positive thinking, or is that a cop-out?
I think positive thinking is much... I think positive thinking done from a quiet mind is very powerful. If you try and plant a seed on concrete or, you know, rocky gravel, it ain't going to go anywhere. But if you've cultivated the soil and you've made it fertile and you plant that seed, you're going to have it flower. So just thinking a positive thought alone ain't going to do it. You've got to meditate. You've got to, mm-hmm. you know, you've got to make that consciousness, your mind fertile, receptive, open. You got to get those brain waves going in the right way. Then you have a thought, positive thought, like you had as a kid. I'm going to be that. I'm going to host a show. I'm going to be a national figure. Well, great. It's not just the thought. It's also the fertile field, consciousness, and it's the hard work that does it, too.
What about negativity?
I think negativity, actually, from a standpoint, if you just want to go physiological, it pollutes and it pollutes the brain. It creates what's called too much cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone. Too much cortisol blocks memory, floods the hippocampus in the brain. It compromises the immune system. It makes us gain weight. It makes us get sick more easily and compromise the immune system. So negative thoughts are not our friend. But you can't just, on a surface level, you can try. But it's a cop-out to just think, okay, I'm just going to force myself to think a positive thought. The positive thought is the seed. You got to. That's why I think the value of meditation. You've got to make your mind awake, alert, clear, settled, and that's where meditation comes in.
Do you do seminars?
Yeah, lots.
You ever get to Los Angeles or St. Louis?
I'm actually talking. Yes, I do. I'm actually talking to you from Los Angeles right now because I told you I just taped the
Ellen's show.
Ellen's show. And here's an interesting thing.
Well, and I left L.A. for a couple weeks to go to St. Louis, my other base.
Oh, so you're both places. Well, I'm often, if we should connect because, you know, I'm happy to teach you to do it. This meditation takes about a, there are many meditations you can learn, and they're, you know, valuable, that you can learn from a tape or guided meditations, and that's there. This niche is in the one that I teach, and I'm not promoting this, I'm just answering your question, is takes about an hour a day over four consecutive days, and you have your own teacher. So I would teach you, and we'd one-to-one, and really get it. Get the traction and get it.
I'm stuck with you for an hour a day for 4 days?
Yeah, I know, but we're Detroit, so we could talk Kirk Gibson. We could talk, you know, Hernandez. We could talk Sparky Anderson. There's so much.
How long were you in Detroit?
Just I taught TM at Ford and General Transcendental Meditation at Ford and General Motors and at the Renaissance Center, the, just 1982 to 1984. And here's how much I loved Detroit.
Did you live there or just
I
go
did.
Back and
I
forth?
Lived in, I lived in Detroit, and this is how much I lived. So I grew up in the Bay Area, and I've lived all over the country. I spent 2 years in Detroit, and my best friends for life are from those 2 years I spent in Detroit.
That's fantastic. Where do they live? What city?
They lived in Ferndale. They lived in West Bloomfield. They lived in Royal Oak.
I was raised in Dearborn Heights and
you got it.
Dearborn and all that.
Yeah, you got it.
And my dad worked for Ford Motor Company for years. God rest his soul.
I remember when I was a poor meditation teacher at the time, and I was driving a borrowed Toyota, teaching a course at Ford, and I used to park like 5 miles away. And they just walk.
So nobody would see it?
No one would see me. Then I got a
Ford. Well, and you can't drive a Toyota into the Ford Motor Company headquarters.
And I didn't have any money. So someone was just letting me use this beat-up Toyota. And I said, I ain't driving that into Ford.
That's funny. My dad would get Ford cars all the time. And they gave him a little discount because of that. So he took advantage of that. But, I mean, he did. And the first car he gave me was a Mercury that he had, 1968, I believe.
Oh, my
and,
God. Can you fix up cars?
No. Well, let me tell you something, though, Bob, about cars. As most mechanics were listening, they are so complicated today. They're all computerized. You have to have tools and gadgets to hook up to them. In the old days, I could do that. I replaced spark plugs and stuff like that. That was fun, but you can't do that anymore. The times have changed.
No, God, no.
So let's back to the calls. Joe in the Bronx, you're on with us. Go ahead, Joseph.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, Joe.
Good. And I wanted to ask Bob, are you familiar with or have you heard of something called the Dark Knight Syndrome? And would you care to explain a little bit about that?
No, could you tell me what that is, the Dark Knight Syndrome? Could you tell me?
It seems, you know, I'm not sure of the exact definition, but it seems that it's a negative thing, sort of like an anti-meditation thing, that there are dangers that a person could place themselves in with certain kinds of meditation.
Yes, and those are types of meditation where you are... from the research standpoint, that's why when I talk about the types of meditation I talk about, whether it's TM, Transcendental Meditation, or mindfulness-based stress reduction, or something called Vipassana, these are all meditations where there's been multiple, in some cases, hundreds of studies, peer-reviewed studies, conducted on these meditations, and they've shown to be safe and healthy, and not just safe and healthy, but actually promote health, promote mental health. But just like medicine, you know, if you say, well, I take medicine, well, there's some bad medicines that can make you sick, but then there's medicines that have been researched that can make you healthy. So that's why I said to the other caller, you got to look at the data. I talk about it in my book, but you just go online and just look up research on meditation if you want to, because some things could be not as healthy for the brain. But the research that I'm talking about shows a healthy, integrated brain functioning, and it's good for people who have even, like I work with veterans with post-traumatic stress, and I work with the encouragement of the U.S. Department of Defense and the VA hospital. I've taught thousands of veterans to do TM, Transcendental Meditation, so I have the support of the AMA and the Defense Department.
Bob, what has been for you the most fulfilling aspect of what you've been teaching?
To talk to a really skeptical person who just says, you know, I don't believe in any of this stuff, like one of your earlier callers, but I got high blood pressure. I don't, you know, the medication, I'm fine with it, but I don't necessarily, or I can't sleep at all. Some anxiety syndrome, and I don't want to just have to take pills the rest of my life, and they come very skeptical, and I say, you know, you don't got to believe in electricity to turn on a light switch, and you don't got to believe in gravity to drop a tennis ball, and you don't have to believe in meditation to get the deep rest so you can self-heal. And I think that's the message, and that's your message when you talk about, you know, these health modalities, is that there are things we can do that strengthen the body's own immune system. And it's very satisfying for me to give a tool in the toolbox. It's not the solution to all problems, but a tool in the toolbox that a person allows a person to take care of themselves.
Now, you're the CEO of the David Lynch Foundation. Who was David Lynch?
David Lynch is a filmmaker. He'd love you, by the way. He did Twin Peaks, and he did, you know, a lot of these.
Okay.
Yeah. And he'd been meditating for 40-plus years, and he and I were friends. And ever since I was a kid, you know, my vision when I was, I was sort of 17 or 18, is I wanted to make a difference in the world. And I thought it was going to be in politics. I didn't go that way. Too much compromise of my own integrity.
Yeah, good point.
And then I thought education, and then I learned to meditate, and I thought, man, this would be a great thing to bring to kids. So 13 years ago, we started a foundation, and now we're in public schools all over the United States and all over the world and working with veterans. And
are the schools receptive to you when you call them?
10, 20 years ago, not at all. They thought, oh, this is a religion, it's a philosophy. Now there's so much data, and the problems are so great with kids, you know, the stress levels. They don't have the brain capacity to handle the onslaught.
I wish you could get to these kids who go and shoot up schools and get them to meditate before they do what they do.
No, that's what we're wanting to do. And this isn't left, right. This isn't Republican, Democrat. This is the great thing. Just like having preventive medicine and alternative medicine is not Republican or Democrat, left or right. It's just human.
I had a story earlier, Bob. A lady got hit in the face with a baseball bat in a road rage episode.
I saw that.
I mean, shouldn't these people be meditating?
Well, I mean, I'm working. I want to bring this everywhere. I want to bring it to a million Syrian refugees. I want to bring it to every police officer in the country who has to deal with I can't swear. But it's thrown at them every day, and we are working with police officers. And they have high levels of suicide rates among police officers.
Oh, they do. Absolutely.
And so, yes, I think that meditation is going to be as mainstream in the next few years. If you don't even want to use the word meditation, as exercise is today. We know we have to do some exercise, something. We know we have to eat something. Meditation has been sort of on the realm, you know, on the fringe. But the real legitimate stuff, the evidence-based stuff, and I think within a few years it's going to be in the schools. This is non-religious meditation. It's going to be in the schools. It's going to be in businesses. And people like yourself, with a show like this, help educate people. Because if people don't know better, then they don't know better.
We got to tell them how to do it, that's for sure. Where do we get the book, Strength and Stillness?
You can order it Amazon. You can order any of your local bookstores. The funny thing about this is I've been teaching this forever, and 3-4 years ago, I'd have written a book and whatever. And the first week it was out, it was a New York Times bestseller.
Good for you. We're going to come back with final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Bob Roth with us. We're going to get your final calls. Fast night, Bob, and thank you for spending a couple hours with us. Really enjoy it.
I really enjoyed it. I hope we didn't take you off, you know, too much off topic talking about Detroit, but I sure love this conversation.
You know what? I miss that city. It was a great memories, great people.
You like St. Louis?
Yeah, I love St. Louis. It's a great town. I'm a booster of St. Louis.
And, home of the Jack Buck.
Jack is one of a kind. And I know his son, Joe, quite well. And they're just good people, good broadcasters.
Yeah.
And baseball season's right around the corner.
You're a great broadcaster, too. You'd have made a great baseball announcer.
Yeah. I was too, I'd have to announce for the Tigers, though. I was too much of a Tiger fan.
You and Ernie Harwell, you would have paired up.
Oh, he was one of the best.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember Ray Lane?
Yeah.
I was just with him this weekend because his daughter also got inducted into the St. Louis Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And he was there. And I worked with Ray as a 24-year-old television producer back in Detroit. And he was there. He's in his 80s now. And just
well, to get inducted into any city's Hall of Fame, I can't think of, you know, New York and St. Louis, sort of the two best. And so that's quite an honor that you got that.
We're there with the big ones, Bobby Costas and all those others.
I want your listeners to know. They know it anyway, but that's the big deal. I grew up with a guy named Russ Hodges.
Yeah.
Ron Simmons out in San Francisco for the San Francisco Giants.
That's right.
All right, so we have other questions.
Let's take other calls. Okay. Let's go to Bill in Colorado, west of the Rockies. Hey, Bill, go ahead. You're up with us.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you.
Sure.
Bob, I'm a 75-year-old veteran that's going near blind, and it's really stressing me out. I used to be a writer and can't read anymore. You mentioned the VA. Do you work with the VA? Do you know if there's a phone call that can be made to get some just basic TM techniques?
If you go to tm.org,
I can't really do that. I can't see well.
Okay, then.
Or can somebody do that for you, Bill?
I guess.
Okay.
Well, because afterwards, if there's some way that you can stay on the line and I can give you my phone number, and then I'll track someone down for you because
I can do that.
You can learn to meditate. I run a foundation and we give it to veterans for free. So, and it's a personal, so just...
I can hang on, yes.
We'll do that. And Bill, what's going on with the eyesight?
Well, I've had glaucoma, and it's just, for some odd reason, it's just deteriorating. And the comedy of errors over medical stuff, and it's deteriorating daily, as a matter of fact. And probably I've got a couple of weeks left before I can't see at all.
Well, then this is just the right time to learn, because this is a technique that will... There's a hormone called cortisol I mentioned earlier, which is secreted by the adrenal glands when we're anxious and nervous. And cortisol exacerbates disorders, particularly, you know, eyesight. Anything that stress can wear us down. And this is a profound way to reduce stress. And where are you in Colorado?
I'm in eastern Colorado, so I can't really even get to Denver very easily. I'm out near the border near Nebraska.
Well, we'll just be in touch, and we'll see what we can do for you.
All right, should I hang on then?
Yeah, I'm going to put you on hold. And, Bill, I'm going to have Youngevity send you some supplements for the eye. Would you take them?
I certainly would.
Okay. Well, we will do that, and we'll work post-haste on stuff like that. There's some natural things that you should try, regardless of what's going on with your vision.
Tools in the toolbox. That's what we want to give you, tools in the ways that you can handle this.
Absolutely. What's your favorite aspect of meditation?
Asking me?
Yes.
My favorite aspect is at the end of a long day, you know, and it's been a long day. I've been putting out, tired, and I'm going to be going home. I'm going to be with the family and work to do. And I sit for a few minutes, do this meditation, and it's like starting the day fresh again. It's like I got a new start to the day.
Good for you.
And I can do it. I can do it in the back seat of you can do it in a car, but someone else has to be driving. So I can do it in the back seat of a cab. I can do it on a plane. It's great for jet lag if you travel a lot.
Super. Well, Bob, Donna is getting Bill's phone number. So after our show interview in about 10 more minutes, I'm going to keep you on the line, and we'll get you his phone number, okay?
Perfect. And I will give him a call and follow up.
Yeah, and I'm going to get some supplements sent out to him, and let's see what happens.
Great.
You know, stranger things have happened.
No, this will help. That's a very compassionate of you to do that.
Let's go to West Virginia. Herc's with us now on the wild card line. Herc, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks again. And I can't wait to call in on open lines. But I wanted this question answered. I don't necessarily meditate, but the times I feel totally at peace are those quiet times when I'm able to focus on self-reflection. Is that actually meditation? And I'll, as always, take my answer off the air.
Okay, sure thing. Go ahead, Bob.
No, there's meditation is not one thing, as George will tell you.
It's a package.
Yeah, and you can have that quiet when you're fishing. You can have that quiet when you're listening to music. You can have that quiet at church. You can have that. You have it at different times. The purpose of a meditation practice is that it's a designated time for that. It's like, okay, in the morning or in the afternoon, I'm going to take a few minutes and just connect, just settle down and connect. So it's not a random sort of thing. And for that, it helps to have instruction. Like, you know, if you want your child to do well in math, it's good to have a tutor or, you know, a teacher. If you want to learn how to swim, it's good to have a teacher. So I'm a big fan of a teacher for meditation. That isn't to say you can't do things on your own. I'm a big fan of that too. But again, it's not either or, it's yes and. So I mean, you can read any book. Strength and Stillness, I wrote to be very simple and talk about the different forms of meditation. George, I should say one thing. I am donating 100% of all of my proceeds from the book to teach veterans to learn to meditate.
Good for you.
So I'm not, you know, selling a book for myself here. If you buy the book, you're helping veterans learn to meditate for free.
And they need it.
Oh, do they need
it.
And police and firefighters and our first responders.
Can you believe we're still in Afghanistan since 2001?
How is that possible?
16, 17, you're going on 17 years.
How is that possible? What's going on? You've got an insight into things. What do you think is happening?
There's no exit plan. We never planned to leave. And that's what's so...
Was it just a political expedient, just at the moment, this is what we're going to do, and we thought they were just going to welcome us with...
Like, well, you know, there are different theories about that, but...
What is your theory?
You know, it's just, you know, Iraq has one of the world's largest oil reserves. Jeez, and we're there. Go figure, right?
What a surprise.
And, I mean, there's no reason to continue to stay in Afghanistan, and, you know, it's just, it's crazy. It just doesn't make any sense. Too many wars.
Too many wars. And it's what happens is these young men... get sent off with great fanfare, and you know they're normal kids. Then they're in a Humvee, gets blown up, everybody gets killed except for them. They come back, and they're given a handful of medicines, and then they're drugs, and now this is we're treating you, or we'll do some talk therapy, or we'll try this, and they're just traumatized. And I don't mean to get too heavy here, but 21 veterans commit suicide every day
in
America.
Absolutely. Ever go to Windsor, Ontario when you were in Detroit?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going there right now with Linda. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Great city.
Oh, God, you guys are so super great. And, George, I start with you right from the beginning when you were on the air, and we had some really good times.
It's hard to believe how many years have gone by, Linda, so fast.
Oh, God. Like I said, you were the star that could walk through my gate anytime. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
And also, you said you'll marry me in the next life. Do you remember that one? That was a fun one.
I had a little bottle of wine when I said that.
Well, my question is, I'm telling you this, your program is super tonight. What is it, the pineal gland have to do with, you know, the meditation? Is that an important connection there?
The which?
Pineal gland.
When you meditate?
Yeah, I think it's important. And I think the pineal gland, the frontal lobe, you know, the prefrontal cortex, what they call the imagination network or the default mode network, all these areas of the brain that are sort of the higher values, those things wake up in meditation. You don't have to consciously force them. But when you access that stillness, I talk in my book, Strength and Stillness, when you settle, like the ocean, waves on the surface, and you just settle down, you get a teacher, and you just settle down, and you access that stillness, wakes up the pineal gland, wakes up the prefrontal cortex, which is executive functioning, which is, George opened the show talking about the ability to concentrate and be focused and get things done, but also wakes up the creative center of the brain, all of these things together. We want to wake up those higher functions in the brain. And then there's a word called neuroplasticity, which means the neurons or the brain cells that fire together, that connect in meditation, wire together or stay connected out of meditation. And that gives you the energy and the creativity to do great things in life.
You have a lot of women and children who are survivors of domestic violence, which is unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. Domestic violence is tragic. It destroys families and everything else. And then the kids grow up, and in some cases, they become, you know, the same.
Not in some cases, George, all too often.
Yeah, all too often indeed. So our hats off to you for doing that.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is I was giving a talk at some medical doctors in Hartford, and I said, well, you know, I run a foundation, and we work with at-risk populations. And the And the cardiologist got up and he said, I hate to tell you this, Bob, but that's all 7.8 billion of us. We're all at risk. And now, you know, we're doing research on the effects of this meditation on Parkinson's disease. I taught Michael J. Fox to meditate, and when he met and he has bad Parkinson's, all of his tremors stop when he meditates just automatically. And while they do return slowly, his anxiety is completely gone. We're working on TM and pre-onset Alzheimer's and all these different areas.
I loved him in Back to the Future.
Oh, the best. And he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman is a great guy. There's some great guys out there.
Yep, there sure is. Let's go to Joseph in Reno, Nevada. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
How are you? Good show tonight.
Thank you, Joseph.
Anyway, I've been meditating for 25 years.
Good for you.
And I'm 70 years old now, and I drive an ice cream truck.
I love it. You're the guy I was waiting for when I was a kid.
It's a lot of fun. Anyway, I've been meditating in the mornings for the longest time, every time I woke up, and then I throw an extra meditation around noon before I go and sail because it gives me the awareness and, you know, it just keeps me alert and awake, and it just feels really great. And I've done that for a long time, and then all of a sudden, this past year, I can't sleep. I can't sleep at night. I don't know what's going on.
Are you still meditating?
Yes. And I'm, you know, it's, I haven't changed anything. It's just, you know, especially in a full moon or getting towards a full moon, man, I can't sleep.
How old are you?
70.
70 years old.
You know, you may need to, and, you know, George could step in here. It may be something dietary. It may be something with your, you know, minerals or vitamins or something that's just as we get older, because we're all moving in your direction.
I run 5 miles 3 times a week.
Wow.
And I eat well. And, you know, and I figure if I run, I get tired and sleep. Well,
you don't. And let me ask you this, Joseph. When you're trying to sleep, do you have that feeling like you can't breathe and hence you stay awake?
No, not at all.
You don't have that.
Okay. Yeah, no, I go to bed and then I'll sleep for maybe an hour or two. And all of a sudden, I'm up again.
Well, you know, there are many different types of meditation. You may want to add another type to your already to your practice. Just like, you know, you do one exercise, you can do another exercise.
Yeah, I've heard that there's different mantras you can learn.
Yeah, well, just, I mean, in Las Vegas, there's some great meditation. I have a friend there who runs the TM Center there. But not just that, or look around, but, yeah, check it out. Check it out, because... You know,
I just feel so fantastic. I haven't seen a doctor ever.
Well, it's because you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I'm in great condition, and I, you know, I just get up and, you know, I go and do my job and whatever, you know, when it gets, and then I come home and, you know, I eat well. I take care of myself.
A lot of ice cream.
I love
it. No ice cream.
Pop quiz for you, Bob. In Detroit, what was the name of the ice cream truck company that would come through neighborhoods?
So
you weren't a kid though in Detroit.
No, I wasn't. Blue Bunny.
What was called the Good Humor Company?
Oh, Good Humor. Well, the Good Humor people, they were all over the place.
Yeah, I think they were. God, I used to love that as a kid.
Did you shop at Farmer Jack's?
I did, in Wrigley's. I was a little 16-year-old stock boy.
Your poor listeners are going, I thought this was to talk about meditation.
Yeah, we're talking about Nori's days in Detroit. Who cares?
We're having a good conversation.
We only have a minute left, so let's take some time. I'm going to put you on hold, by the way, Bob, after the interview, so you can get the phone number to Bill in Colorado.
Great.
And see
great.
What you can do for him. And I'm going to turn his address into the folks at Youngevity to get him some eye supplements as well. But the book again, Strength and Stillness, you can get where?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it any bookstore. And also, I will be on, if I can pitch it, Ellen DeGeneres, April 2nd in the afternoon, talking a lot about the same stuff. But I got to tell you, George, I've done a lot of radio. This has been my favorite interview I've ever done. This
I love
is fantastic.
It. Well, you're a great guy. Let's stay in touch, and I'm going to put you on hold right now. through my magical computer, and Donna will take care of you, and we'll get you the phone number to Bill in Colorado, and Bill will get you taken care of as quickly as we can. We've got a great show in store for you tomorrow and for the entire week. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.